Now on 710 WOR, filling in for Mr. New York, Mark Simone, here's Howie Carr.
Welcome to 710 WOR. I'm Howie Carr. I'm a talk show host out of Boston, syndicated. You can hear me on the iHeart app every afternoon. I'm on in various stations in New England, and I'm on Newsmax TV. If you want to broadcast, you can see me online on Twitter or Facebook. Go to HowieCarrShow.com, and always happy to be filling in for Mark Simone, and I'm a guest on his show every once in a while if you're a regular listener to the show. And it's always fun to be here, and happy Independence Day to everybody, and I hope you'll enjoy it. I'm sure AOC has got some plans for everybody, and Bill de Blasio, if he can make it to some kind of whatever the 4th of July festivities is he's planning to attend. I'm sure he'll get there a little late, but maybe he'll get there at some point. And he will probably be on the campaign trail as well, because he's doing so splendiferously in the polls. What is he at? I think he's at 0.4%, or maybe it's at 0.04% right now in the polls. And as you know, Kamala Harris has been surging of late. She took on Joe Biden. And if you haven't read the piece in the New Yorker about Hunter Biden, his son, I know the the New York Post and Page Six has been excerpting some of it, but it's just I shouldn't be laughing at another human being's plight, but it's pretty funny what Hunter Biden has been up to these last few years. And he tried to go to a journalist who would be friendly to him at the New Yorker, a well-known alt-left publication, and he tried to put out his side of the story about his travails with cocaine and alcohol and strippers and whatever else he's done over the years. And he's a really unlucky guy, and you got to read the whole story. But he goes out for a drink to some place, or just anywhere, and he runs into guys in men's rooms, and they offer him cocaine, or sometimes they offer him cocaine, but it turns out to be crack, and he doesn't know how to put it in his cigarette, so he can't really smoke it. And then these terrible things just keep happening to him. He runs into South Africans all the time outside these bars, and the bars in Georgetown, across the country. And these people lead him down the path of the path lesser traveled, and he gets into trouble, and then he makes up with his father, Joe Biden, the vice president, who calls him for some reason honey. That's their term of affection in the Biden family. Anyway, 84 again, I'm giving the wrong number here. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. And I'm just looking here to see what, if I want to play another sound cut. Let's play another cut from Dan Crenshaw, given this is the guy, the freshman Republican from the Houston suburbs in Texas, and talking about how the Dems like AOC and our state rep or our congresswoman here in Massachusetts, Ayanna Pressley, and some of the other woke Democrat freshman women went down to the border and denounced the Border Patrol. And Crenshaw is just pointing out that it's easy to criticize, it's easy to point the finger, but what are they offering as an alternative? Cut number eight.
These Democrats need to have a reasonable, logical conversation, engage in some problem solving, and then offer an actual solution. Because what they're really doing is trying to stand on their moral high horse and sling arrows at everybody else while not offering a solution. Let's not forget, they fought us tooth and nail against that $4.5 billion of humanitarian aid that the president needed, that DHS needed, that HHS needed in order to better conditions at these facilities. They fought us for months on this. They said there was no crisis. We asked for a vote in the House 17 times. Yeah. They refused to do it.
Yeah, he also talked about this this demonstration at Wayfair. That's a Boston-based company for home goods, and they got a $200,000 contract to supply beds to the border facilities. And so there was a purported walkout a couple of days ago at noon during the lunch hour in downtown Boston by the Wayfair employees. But it turns out that most of the demonstrators, it's a very very well-traveled pedestrian area, and a lot of people are leaving from other offices, and they're not taking part in the demonstration, especially on a sunny summer day. They're actually going to lunch. And in addition to that, there were a lot of apparently paid demonstrators out there, but they made it seem like this was a viral walkout by the millennials that work at Wayfair, that they didn't and they didn't want to supply this contract. And again, it's perplexing because the vendors that supply the furniture and the services to the facilities where the migrants, so-called, are being kept, how are you helping the migrants if you're not supplying the beds that they need to sleep in? You're angry that they're sleeping on the floors, allegedly. So you're saying our company should not supply the beds so they don't have to sleep on the floors. And so Crenshaw is talking about that with Martha McCallum from Fox. Cut number 11.
AOC blasted Wayfair, the furniture company, because they wanted to, you know, do a contract for 1,800 beds, which would certainly alleviate some of the problem right. In terms of where people could sleep. So, I mean, go figure.
It's cognitive dissonance because, what, she doesn't want them to have beds?
No, she doesn't, apparently.
That's her solution,
yeah,
apparently?
Exactly, because the corporate, you know, the company is to blame.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't make any sense. You know, even if you're a paid demonstrator, how can you explain it? You know, and I don't think there were that many Wayfair people that were at the actually at this demonstration, and I know that area, and again, people, it's a sunny day. Winter is 8 months long up here. They wanted to get a little sun and get outside on a warm summer day.
Good for the CEO. I don't think he's caved yet.
Yeah, the CEO, by the way, he's exercising his white privilege. He's the son of Indian immigrants. Okay. He's from Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and he's the CEO, and he's founded the company. He's now a billionaire. Niraj Shah. He lives in the Back Bay of Boston, a well-known hotbed of segregation and white privilege here in the Athens of America, the hub of the universe. Felicia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Felicia.
Oh, Hal, you're a great fill-in for Mark. I love Mark. You know, these swine, these anti-American swine that want to bring down our country, they never name another paradise, another country that's better than ours. I wish we could redirect the people on our borders to over there, to go to that place, wherever it may be.
Yeah, I know. What is it? What is this thing? The New York Times is saying that we're not the best country. Well, name me a country that's better.
Yeah, they can't come up with one, Mark. But thank you for yeah. your voices and your opinion.
Thanks, Felicia. I appreciate it. You know, all these countries that I don't know if they were named in the New York Times video, but they were named in the newsroom video. A lot of these countries that they named were either freed by the United States in World War II after they were conquered by the Axis powers, or they're the Axis powers from World War II that we destroyed and then reestablished new governments with democracy. So I think we have a great role to play in the freedom that all these other supposedly greater countries than ourselves are enjoying.
So are the Dems going to adopt this new mantra now? America, we're just okay.
Yeah, America, not so great. Well, I mean, this is kind of a recurring theme. Remember Michelle Obama in the 2008 campaign? This is the first time I've ever been proud of my country after her husband started winning some primaries and looked like he was going to win the Democrat nomination.
So basically, the New York Times conceded that Donald Trump was right, that America was a great country at one point, but it isn't anymore. So we do need to make America great again.
Yeah, these people are crazy, you know, and Kamala Harris is talking about people are having to work two and three jobs. I mean, this is insanity, too. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. I got a story about that, too, is somewhere in my stack of stuff, which I'll get to here. There are actually very few people that are working two and three jobs. And if they're working two or three jobs, they're not full-time jobs. No, who's got time for, and really, seriously, how many people do you know who are working two full-time jobs? You know, you can work part-time jobs and just to make a little extra dough on the side, but people have always been doing that. I mean, this is nothing new. This isn't something that that just happened since that Donald Trump has been sworn in. And how do they explain away the fact that we have more people working now in the United States in the workforce than any time in since they've been keeping records?
They don't care about that. They care about the poverty level.
The poverty level. Yeah, so we're importing more poverty from the third world. How's that going to help the poverty level? Ted, you're next with Howie Carr on WOR. Go ahead, Ted.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your talent, Mr. Carr. You are a talented broadcaster. I read in my iPad, and I should stop. I should read about planting roses. That Mr. Trump could be our last Republican president, and that afterwards civil war could break out. Do you think that such a horror could happen? I do.
Well, I think at this point, there was a story, a famous story that came out right before the 2016 election. And I forget who wrote it, but somebody said this is the Flight 93 election that we have to stop Hillary Clinton, or they're just going to crash the jet into the entire edifice of the United States. It was a figurative story, not literal. But I think every election now is very pivotal. You know, if the Democrats get in, I think one thing I realized after the election is when they started accusing Trump of wanting to set up a dictatorship and do away with everybody's personal liberties, I realized that after a while that they're projecting onto us. This is what they were planning for us. You know, Hillary Clinton was running around all through the fall of 2016 saying she opposed Citizens United and was going to appoint Supreme Court justices to overturn Citizens United. That was basically code word for saying I don't believe in the First Amendment. And she was talking about Heller versus DC. She was going to appoint justices to the Supreme Court who would overturn Heller versus DC. That was code for doing away with the Second Amendment. And, she let the cat out of the bag even more when she talked about the deplorables in that famous Friday night speech in New York and the irredeemables. And, one half of the Trump people were terrible. And, I think you're onto something, Ted. They don't have the same concern for, say, the Bill of Rights that other Democrats used to have. And this was from yesterday. Remember Frederica Wilson? She's the Democrat congresswoman from Florida. She's the one that wears the cowboy hat. And John Kelly, the former chief of staff under Trump, said that, an empty barrel makes more noise. You know, when she was talking, because he'd seen her at some speech down in Miami. Well, the Florida Democrat has weighed in on free speech issues this week and told an audience that it should be illegal to mock lawmakers. Think about that. These people who are online making fun of members of Congress are a disgrace, she said while speaking in Homestead, Florida. We're going to shut them down and work with whoever it is to shut them down, and they should be prosecuted. Prosecuted. That's First Amendment rights, and she wants to this woman is a member of Congress. This is bad. Bad. Okay, we're going to go to a break. I'm Howie Carr in for Mark Simone.
Filling in for Mr. New York, Mark Simone, here's Howie Carr.
Happy Independence Day Eve to everybody, and I hope you give me a call if you want to take part in the show today, 800-321-0710. Judy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi, Mr. Carr. Thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm listening to everything. I called about something, but before that, I just want to say two things also. Antifa, they should be illegal, okay? Antifa should be illegal. That's one. And two, You know what? I find it interesting that if America's not great and whatever, why are so many people clamoring and risking their lives to come here?
Exactly. You know? That's some more cognitive dissonance among the Democrats, isn't it, Judy? I mean, they can't figure this out. Why, if this is such a terrible, racist, oppressive nation, exactly. Why are they risking their lives to come here?
Right, Mr. Carr. And by the way, they're not Democrats. They're Demoncrats. That's what I call them. They're demonic. They're crazy with the infanticide, and they're giving away everything free, which is not sustainable. I want to ask you something, Mr. Carr. And by the way, I would love all of these anti-Americans and all these haters of America, do me a favor, go elsewhere. Go find another country, because we're sick of you. They're out of their minds, Mr. Carr, starting with all that crazy Cortez. Let me ask you a question, talking about out of their minds. What do you say about Jimmy Carter and what he said about President Trump?
He's, you know, I was never a big Jimmy Carter fan. There's a reason why he was a one-term president and why he lost in a landslide. He's a pretty good ex-president building the Habitats for Humanity. But why would he say that, you know, he's not a legitimate president? I mean, he was elected in a landslide. You count the votes in the Electoral College. I mean, to say that Hillary Clinton won the popular votes, that's like saying if a baseball team gets more hits but gets fewer runs, they won the game. It's ridiculous. He's lost it. You got the cut. Let's play the Jimmy Carter cut from the other day.
How should we deal with Russia?
Well, the president himself should condemn it, admit that it happened, which I think 16 of intelligence agencies have already agreed to say.
That's been
and
debunked.
There's no doubt that the Russians did interfere in the election. And I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put into office because the Russians interfered on his behalf.
So do you believe President Trump is an illegitimate president?
Based on what I just said, which I can't retract.
He doesn't know what he's talking. He has no clue what he's talking about. That first statement about the 16 intelligence agencies, that's totally debunked. That was BS. The only intelligence agencies that said that there was Russian interference were the CIA and the FBI. And look at who was running them, Comey and Brennan. And we know they're hearing the footsteps from William Barr and John Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut. And if it's fully quantified, how much time did they need to investigate? How much money? Mueller spent $40 million. He hired the most anti-Trump, rabid Democrat lawyers he could find, and they couldn't find anything, nothing. Good Lord. Michael, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Michael, quickly.
Yeah, it's Howie. Regarding the demon rat hatred for America, it's actually something much deeper than that. It is hatred for the very concept of a sovereign nation and a united people based around a set of ideals. Years ago, there's a video of this. Walter Cronkite received an award from a World Government Federation society, and he came out and he said, "When I was an anchor, I couldn't say these things, but now I'm going to speak my mind." He says, "It is time for a one-world government." And after he said that, Hillary Clinton, who was the first lady at the time, came on a screen and congratulated him. And you can see this on YouTube. This isn't conspiracy theory. Yeah. This is how they speak when they're among themselves. They want to tear this country down and put us paying carbon taxes to a world government. These are very wicked, evil people. And Trump was able to at least derail that world government movement for a little while, at least.
Yeah. I know, and then Walter Cronkite went back to Martha's Vineyard, where he celebrated the workers' utopia on his 40-foot sailing boat. Yeah, and Hillary Clinton talked about Robert Byrd as her mentor, the former Klansman. All right, now it's time for news with Noam Layden.
Filling in for Mr. New York, Mark Simone, here's Howie Carr.
Welcome back. We told you earlier about the New York Times and their video basically talking about how America is not so great. Well, you know, the New York Times, it's a national left-wing newspaper, and its chief rival is the Washington Post. And the Washington Post wanted to get in on the fun, too. So they've run a story about the 4th of July. Let me read you the beginning of it. This was Monday. It's almost the 4th of July, the quintessential American holiday, and because nothing says America quite like exploding things. It is the holiday of fireworks, glittering bursts over the town square, sparklers in the backyard, Roman candles by the lake. It's all fine, patriotic fun, unless you're an emergency room doctor, or the parent of an easily awakened child, or the owner of an anxious dog, or a firefighter, or a bird, or the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Wait, they didn't mention vets living with PTSD? That's usually number one on the list.
The skies above the mall. This is, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. The skies above the mall will light up in D.C. with a historic spectacle planned by a historically unpopular president. I thought his favorability rating was ahead of Barack Obama's at this particular time. But I guess never let the facts get in the way of a good story. Who announced that he would deliver a speech at the traditionally nonpartisan event, followed by a lavish salute to America with fireworks made in China.
Where I would want my fireworks made. The Chinese invented fireworks.
This is objective journalism in 2019. This is what it's all about. All right.
I'm amped up for this parade. It's going to be great.
I know. You can't buy publicity like this. This is the best
publicity. We're going to have a great 4th of July in Washington, D.C. It'll be like no other. It'll be special. And I hope a lot of people come. And it's going to be about this country. And it's a salute to America. And I'm going to be here. And I'm going to say a few words. And we're going to have planes going overhead, the best fighter jets in the world, and other planes, too. And we're going to have some tanks stationed outside.
So now it's a problem to have jets flying overhead. It never has been a problem in the past. I don't recall, anyway, living in Boston and seeing the jets fly overhead for the event at dusk on the Esplanade on the Charles River in Boston before the Boston Pops begin their salute to America. Okay, let me read you this story. There's a great piece in the Wall Street Journal today by Andy Ngo. You know who he is by now. He's the gay journalist of color in Portland, Oregon, who goes and he records the antics of the Antifa mob. They're all clad in black t-shirts and black masks, and they attack people, sucker punch them, anyone who disagrees with them. 9-on-1 is Antifa fun. And so they sent him to the hospital the other day, and this was just, and the Portland police just stood by, as they always do, and it's outrageous. So this is a leftist mob attacked me in Portland. No hate, no fear, chanted the left-wing crowd as they marched downtown Saturday. And he brought a new camera, GoPro camera, and he was recording the event. When I was suddenly slammed on the back of my head with something hard, dazed and still hearing faint chants of no hate, I was then punched and kicked by perhaps a dozen masked people in black. At an Antifa event meant to resist quote-unquote fascist violence, I, a gay journalist of color, was beaten so badly that I was hospitalized for a brain hemorrhage. I've reported these incidents to the Portland Police Bureau, and in some cases I've even identified the suspects, but there are no arrests. The mainstream media describe Antifa as anti-fascist, but it is in fact a far-left paramilitary-style movement of anarchists and communists agitating for a revolution. And so this is Andy Ngo, who was assaulted on Saturday by the Antifa thugs, and almost all of whom are white, by the way. And they're assaulting a guy who is a child, I believe, of Vietnamese immigrants, boat people from the 70s. But that's okay, I guess, as far as the woke crowd, the social justice warriors on the in the Pacific Northwest are concerned. So now they're throwing milkshakes on people. What they call milkshake. Voxcom's Carlos Meza encouraged such assaults in a May tweet. Milkshake them all. Humiliate them at every turn. Make them dread public organizing. As soon as I arrived at the staging area in a downtown park, masked protesters began to follow me. One person openly carried a metal bat. A masked person approached me from behind, thumped the contents of a cup on my head, and ran away. The paper cup had an Antifa logo on it and was handed out at a shake station in the park. So they were planning to do this to all the protesters against them. I immediately reported the incident to police. Officers told me they would not approach the suspect, who was still in sight, because that might incite the crowd. This is a refrain I hear every time Antifa harasses or attacks me with a Portland police eyewitness present. Policing in the city has become so feckless that neighboring county deputies are withdrawing or reducing their support for the Portland police. Minutes later, another shake was hurled at my face. It splashed under my goggles and went into my eyes, which stung and obstructed my vision. Again, I reported this to police, who demurred. Is this a hate crime? This guy's a member of two protected classes. He's of color, whatever that means, and he's gay. But it's okay. But the Portland police are standing by while he's being assaulted by white people. So he walks in front of the of this mob at the courthouse, which is also the police station, I guess. Thereupon, I was set upon by a mob, some wearing fiberglass hardened gloves as well as masks. They pummeled me in the face and back of my head until I let go of my camera, which somebody snatched. Next rained a hail of milkshakes, eggs, rocks, silly string, and possibly pepper spray. The mob hollered and laughed as I stumbled away. My eyes stung and my face burned. Blood ran down my neck from a ripped earlobe. I later learned that police tweeted that they received information that some of the milkshakes thrown today at the demonstration contained quick-drying cement. That's quite a milkshake, quick-drying cement. Though there was no indication that the ones that hit me did. A group of SWAT medics told me I'd have to walk back to the police precinct toward the protesters to get medical assistance. I was diagnosed with a subarachnoid hemorrhage, or bleeding in the brain, and admitted for observation. I spent more than 30 hours in the hospital, and I'm told I may suffer memory loss for up to 30 months. Portland calls itself a sanctuary city, but it's nothing of the sort for a law-abiding journalist. That's happy Independence Day to Andrew Ngo.
Have we heard from any Democratic politicians crying for an end to the violent hate crimes going on in Portland?
Are they denouncing this in the same breath with Charlottesville? Are they talking? No, I didn't think they were. All right, I've lost my call screener. Who've I got up there? Take a call from anybody? Okay, go ahead. You're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead. Hello?
Howie.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Harrison. You forgot to mention the most famous war builder of all. How could you have done that? And he lives in Washington.
Oh, Barack Obama?
Barack Obama.
Right. Yes, he lives in a...
I was shocked.
Yeah, he's buying that place. First he was renting it, now he's buying it for, what, $10 million? Something like that?
I thought he brought it already. I think it was $8.5 million.
Yeah.
But hey, look, he came from nothing, as the Clintons came from nothing, and they're multimillionaires now and everything else. What an amazing country.
Yeah, it is. Don't forget to include Al Gore in that group. He's also a guy who has done well by doing good. Or is it done good by doing well? I forget how that old saying goes. Yeah, but he's a multi-millionaire now, and they've all become multi-millionaires. And remember when Dutch Reagan left office, what, in 1989? And he went to Japan and delivered a few speeches for a few hundred thousand apiece, and he was denounced as the world's worst person. But the Clintons and who were dead broke, remember, they were dead broke, as Hillary said when they left the White House. Now they're worth, what, $250 million, and the Obamas will soon be outstripping them. Thanks for pointing that out, Tom. I don't know how I mentioned how I missed that. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Peter from Cedarhurst. Go ahead.
Hi, Howie. How you doing?
Good.
I'd like to preface this call by bringing up all the extinct empires, like the Roman Empire.
Yes.
And what we're witnessing here is that initially, no empire, because their ego, they're too ego-ridden to actually see in real time their own extinction. But this is the initiation. The Democrats are initiating the actual forward extinction of America. this is the actual first step in our own, if we allow the Democrats to get away with everything they're getting away with. And what I am seeing and foretelling is that it's not Donald Trump that's going to create a war. It's if the Democrats get in power, they're going to create our own extinction sooner than later.
No, I know. You know, anybody who doesn't doesn't see what's happening here should read. I know, you know, your eyes are probably glazing over when I say it, but Edward Gibbon, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's seven volumes long, but just read the abridged edition and just talk about just read about what happens when the borders became unprotected, and what Gibbon called the barbarians swarmed into the country. And originally they said, oh, we need a few of these barbarians. They're going to help us out. They're only doing the jobs the Romans won't do, like joining the legions. You know, and pretty soon, though, the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths and the Huns and the Vandals, they began swarming in, and they weren't taking any orders from the Roman civil authorities. They were setting up their own societies and their own camps, and pretty soon they were battling with the Roman legions. And it wasn't long. It was a couple of hundred years before the Roman Empire ceased to exist, at least in the West. And the same thing could be happening to us. I mean, we're losing control of our own borders. When we come back, we'll have one last segment here, and it's always a pleasure again to be in for Mark Simone on 710 WOR. And I'm Howie Carr, filling in for Mark Simone.
Filling in for Mr. New York, Mark Simone, here's Howie Carr.
So hope everybody has a safe and a happy Independence Day. And, might want to set off a few firecrackers and fireworks just to annoy the moon bats at the Washington Post, who say this is a terrible holiday because... then nothing says America, according to the Washington Post, like exploding things. But anyway, Donald Trump said the other day, we're not in the hospital business for migrants. He said this. He was being asked by reporters about all the health facilities that are needed on the border. But, you know, apparently we are going to, according to the Democrats, we are going to be in the hospital business for illegal aliens very shortly. Betsy McCoy, the former lieutenant governor, has a great piece in the New York Post today about this. And she said, if the entire illegal immigrant population, which they're all promoting now in the debates last week, if in Medicaid, the tab would range from a whopping $84 billion a year to more than double that, $176 billion. This is at the same time that Congress is nickel and diming how much money to spend allowing vets to see civilian doctors and get other civilian medical services. The total in the proposed budget, 2020 budget, is $8.9 billion, which is less than half what advocacy groups is needed to relieve the deadly backlog at Veterans Administration hospitals. But Democrats are willing to spend at least four times that on health insurance for illegal immigrants. What kind of priority is that? In California this month, the Democrat-dominated state legislature voted to fund health care coverage for illegal aliens up to age 25. How do you pay for it? Democrat lawmakers are slapping a hefty tax up to $3,200 a year on people who go without health insurance, even though they're uninsured because they can't afford it. So what this means is a single working guy, a U.S. citizen, who earns $80,000 a year, which doesn't go too far in L.A. and is ineligible for any Obamacare subsidy, will now be forced to pay a whopping fine, more than $3,000, toward insuring illegals while he goes without coverage himself. This is the world that everybody who raised their hands on the debate stage the other night wants to see imposed on American citizens. The real health insurance crisis in this country isn't about illegal aliens. It's about the middle class, says Betsy McCoy. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, added millions of mostly poor people to the insurance rolls, but the same law is driving premiums so high that middle-class people are priced out. They're ineligible for government subsidies if they make over $48,560 a year or $65,840 as couples. Roughly 5 million people are now going without coverage. Dems eyeing the White House never mentioned the plight of these uninsured middle-class families. They're deplorables, don't you know? They're irredeemables. They're bitter clingers, clinging to their guns and Bibles. That's what Barack Obama used to say. The message is clear. Illegal immigrant lives matter, but vets' lives and middle-class lives, not so much. Baby boomers, also beware. In 2010, Democrat lawmakers in Washington took $750 billion from future Medicare funding to pay for Obamacare. They robbed grandma to fund their health care scheme, and they'll do it again. And, you know, the same thing is happening at the same thing is happening at the state level in Sacramento. It's a, you know, they're raising all the taxes in Illinois. They've raised the gas tax another dollar to pay for public sector pensions. In New York, you had those, you know, the Republicans in the Senate, people like Joe Bruno and Skelos. I mean, they were not the best, but they were at least some kind of backstop to the craziness that's gone on in Albany this year. All right, it's time. I had a great time, and it's always great to fill in for Mark Simone. And now we're going to give you news on 710 WOR.